Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, we are turning our attention to wills and inheritance, and it can, for some, be a very thorny issue among families. And what happens if a will is challenged by a child? Well, Andrea McNamara, Head of Private Client Law at EY, is here now. Andrea, you're very welcome. Okay. You won't be surprised to hear we've had a lot of messages about this morning. How common is it that there would be a challenge to a will?
It can be quite common. And I suppose it's something that I imagine a lot of the listeners have seen in media reports over the years, because it's always a topic that piques people's interests. So it's very frequently reported in the media when there is a case. Mm-hmm. And they can often be very interesting cases also. Quite sad, but they can be very interesting, I suppose, from a reader's perspective. So a claim can be quite common, and they've been pretty steady over the years. I wouldn't say that there's necessarily an uptick recently, but it's an issue that's always dealt with from time to time.
So as a child then, do you have any right to part of your parents' estate?
No, and that's a really important point. Under legislation in Ireland, we have what's called a presumption of testamentary freedom, which means that individuals are generally entitled to leave their estate however they wish on death. Now, so that's in contrast to some other jurisdictions which would have forced heirship rules, where a child or a spouse has to get a specific portion of the estate. We do have two qualifications to that, in that firstly, if you die and you leave a spouse surviving, your spouse is entitled to a specific share of your estate. And the other qualification that we have is, while children don't have any fixed right to a portion of your estate, there is deemed to be a moral duty owed to children. So the question is then whether that moral duty existed at date of death, and if it did exist, did the parent fail in their moral duty to make proper provision for a child?
Okay, even adult children then?
Yes, even adult children. And I suppose with people living longer, you know, parents are dying in their 80s and 90s now, so you could have children bringing claims against their deceased parents' estate who were in their 50s and 60s, and they could be successful.
Mm-hmm. On what grounds, though, would a parent be expected to provide for that child?
Yes, so you do have to show a need, or you have to show that there's been a positive failure in the moral duty of your parent. So actually, there was a case in 2023, which is a good example of that, where the claimant child was in her 60s and she received nothing under her father's will when he passed away. And how she proved that there was a failure in moral duty was that she was forced to leave school at the age of 13. To go out and work to help provide for the family. And so the court felt that the parent should have ensured that she received at least a proper secondary school education. And so that was how she was successful in her claim.
Interesting, isn't it? And what, I suppose it gets more complicated then when there's land involved or a business involved.
Yes, and that they are probably the areas where we most frequently see these claims arise. It's where there's a farm or a family business. And the reason being that often there's one obvious child who's a successor to that farm or that business. So the parent might want to pass the farm or business on to one child, but they may not have sufficient other assets outside of the farm or business to provide for the other children. So you could have one child getting assets with, you know, quite a high value, and then the other children sharing the other assets between them. So they're receiving assets with a much lower monetary value, and they might feel hard done by or feel that that's unfair. So they could potentially then bring a claim seeking greater provision from their deceased parent's mm-hmm. estate. But there is no obligation to provide for children equally or at all. So there can often be very valid reasons as to why children should be provided for unequally. So in that case, you know, it could be held that that was very valid on the part of the parent, that they felt, in order to ensure the successful continuation of this business, I need to leave it to one child. So the court may not interfere with that.
And then a warning for people who go to the courts in anger, the cost of that's going to come from the estate, isn't it?
It generally does. And that's really the difficulty with these claims, is that if you get into a Section 117 claim at all, it can tie the estate up in litigation for at least a few years. So firstly, they can really delay the administration of the estate. And they're also very expensive, because you're incurring legal fees all of that time, and the fees of the estate defending the claim would always be paid out of the estate. And in the past, typically the fees of the child who's making the claim would also be paid out of the estate. So it could significantly deplete the estate. Mm-hmm. Now, there has been a move recently whereby the claimant child, if they're not successful, may not necessarily get their costs. So the courts are taking a stricter approach to that now. But it can certainly have devastating impact, both for the estate and for family relationships. It can be really devastating on
family. Yeah, and you know, we're seeing that from the questions that are coming in this morning. We might go to a few of them now that we have some of the ground rules there for you, Andrea. So this one: over 20 years ago, I took over a family business after my dad retired. It was agreed that I paid my parents a certain amount each month and I'd pay off some existing loans. After many years, I'd pay them over €100,000. The business couldn't sustain this anymore, and I approached my mother to say I couldn't afford to continue this. My dad had since passed. She wasn't happy and our relationship deteriorated. My mother passed away and I was left nothing in her will. Can I contest this?
I suppose the first thing I would say is that every case is assessed on its merits, and the courts will look at all factors in the case. So in this particular case, that child, again, going back to one of the main points with Section 117, is you have to show that there has been a failure of moral duty and that you have a need. So if this child is a mature adult child, they're self-sufficient, they have a business which is a profitable business, just because they're unhappy that their mother didn't leave them anything under their will doesn't necessarily mean that they will be able to bring a claim or be successful with a claim. Now, potentially they could if they were able to show that there was some need. But the courts, in assessing these cases, will look at what lifetime provision was made for a child also. And very often the moral duty can be satisfied through lifetime provision.
So the courts might say, well, you got the business. Absolutely. Now, the counter argument to that is, well, I paid off the business's loans and I paid my parents a sum every month.
Yes. Yeah. And I suppose it's weighing up, you know, the courts will look, as I said, at that child's circumstances. They'll also look at the circumstances of all other children of the deceased. So if it was the case that other children had greater needs, they might say, well, actually, we agree with what your parents did. Or there might be a situation where this child could be successful because they said, well, I paid for this business and I do have a need. You know, it's not very profitable. I'm still struggling to support my family. So it really depends. One thing I would flag there, and it's an important point for anyone considering this, is that there's a very strict time limit with these claims, with these Section 117 claims. And the time limit is 6 months from the date that the grant of representation issues in respect of a deceased's estate. And when I say grant of representation, if there's a will, that would be the grant of probate. If there isn't a will and somebody dies intestate, that's the grant of administration.
So it's a very tight window, isn't it?
And the courts have no jurisdiction to extend that. So even in this listener's case, it depends when, you know, if the grant hasn't issued yet, he still has time. If the grant has issued more than 6 months ago, he's out of time.
So that person's going to make a very personal and considered judgment call on whether to challenge that. Because you're saying to me, really, it could go either way.
It could, yeah. I'd need to know, I suppose, more detail in order to be able to advise further.
Right, well, let's go to the next one now. My father recently passed away, says this listener. My mother had passed before him. I've three siblings. Two of them have received 80% of his estate and I got 20%. Now, I'm not sure what the other sibling got. Is there any way to challenge to ensure that we all get an equal percentage?
You potentially could, but it goes back to the point that there's no necessity to provide for children equally. So there might be very valid reasons as to why the other children received more here. They may have greater needs than this listener. Mm-hmm. But if the listener could prove again that they have a need or that there was a failure on the parent to provide for them properly, then potentially they could bring a claim. But again, noting that there is a 6 month time limit. So, they would have to show reasons as to why they should receive more. It's not just enough to say that I got less than my siblings.
Yeah. You can always do it. You can always challenge. But I mean, what's the outcome going to be? And that's the big variable, isn't it?
It is.
Now, I have two siblings, says this next listener. My parents are divorced. My dad remarried. They don't have children. If my dad was to die and he doesn't include us in his will, this person and the two siblings, are we entitled to anything?
Well, there are two different situations that could arise there. So if their father passes away without a will, so if the father dies intestate, then children are entitled to a specific share in a deceased parent's estate. So in this listener scenario, the new spouse would get two thirds of the father's estate and the children would share the remaining one third between them. If the father died with a will, then children don't have any fixed entitlement to a portion of the father's estate. So the father could potentially leave everything to the new spouse. But if he did that, then the children could potentially bring a claim under Section 117 seeking provision out of the estate. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be up to the father if he leaves a will, what he decides to do
exactly
with what is left. Now, this is getting more complicated, okay, but let's go there. I recently learned that my husband allegedly has a child and had this child before we met. My question is, what's the situation in relation to their access to his will? He says she isn't his child. He's never had any interaction with her. However, his mother and sister have had contact all of the time.
That throws up an interesting point, actually, because Section 117 of the Succession Act, it applies to biological children, so both marital and non-marital children, and also to adopted children. It doesn't apply to stepchildren or to foster children. So in this situation, if this child, this non-marital child, is a biological child of the father, they could potentially bring a Section 117 claim after the father's death. And actually, if there had been no provision made for that child while the father was alive and no provision made for them under the will, they're likely to have quite a strong case in terms of bringing a claim. Now, in bringing a claim, if the court was to make provision for that child, they can't interfere with the fixed right of the spouse to a specific share in the deceased spouse's estate. Mm-hmm. So that's called the legal right share. So if this individual died and he left his spouse and children, the spouse is entitled to, under the rules of intestacy, to two thirds of the estate. Or if there's a will, they're entitled to one third of the estate. So the court can never interfere with the entitlements of a spouse, but outside of that, they can make whatever provision they feel is proper for a child. But it could apply to this child.
There are a lot of people getting in touch saying, I was promised such and such when my parent was alive and it didn't materialise in the will, or perhaps a will wasn't made. Do they have a right?
They don't have a right, but again, that's actually there. And in some of the cases over the years dealing with Section 117 claims, they've gone into quite specific detail about the factors that they will consider in determining these claims. And in one particular case, they held that one point that they will look at is if a child was induced to, say, work on a farm based on
the promise
that you will get this, that is a factor that they will take into account. So it certainly would be helpful to a child in bringing a Section 117 claim if they could prove that and say that I worked here and didn't go off and forge my own career because I was promised that I would get this farm and now my father or my mother hasn't given it to me.
Andrea, we could keep going, but we've run out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Andrea McNamara there from EY Law.